Streaming live every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
Continuing on Firearms Friday now with our friend David Kodria from the War on Guns. You may remember him as he's written for all different kinds of publications over the years. Right now he's writing for Ammoland and for the Firearms News blog. Also, of course, he has his own site, waronguns.com. He is the guy that, along with Michael Vanderbow, who helped break the Fast and Furious scandal to the mainstream news media. He's had his finger on the pulse of what's been going on in the gun community for years. He joins us right now to discuss all the stuff that's happening today, including this bump stock ban. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Michael, I'm doing real well. This bump stock ban. I was on the Federal Register site this morning, and I did not see it posted yet. I heard that it was going to post today, and of course it does not become legal, with quotes around it, and the 90-day clock for compliance does not start ticking until it's published in the Federal Register. So that would be the site I would suggest people check back with a couple times today to see whether or not, in fact, they have gone ahead and published it.
Yeah, we just finished a conversation up with Michael Hammond, who's the chief legislative counsel for Gun Owners of America, and he said they expect it as well, and their lawsuit is now ready to drop the second that it appears on the Federal Register. So they are waiting in the wings right now as we speak. So I fully expect that that will be the case. You've written pretty extensively about some of these issues surrounding and some of the problems surrounding the bump stock ban and, you know, kind of the line in the sand and how, you know, one more law is not going to make a difference. And in fact, one more law is just another infringement on our rights. Let's talk for just a bit here about, you know, what your thoughts are on where this administration is going and why this supposedly Republican conservative administration is the one that's actually undoing decisions made by Obama that seem to be more beneficial to gun owners than not.
Yeah, this is a real head puzzler. I just got done on my War on Guns blog featuring a tweet from conservative politician and Colonel Rob Manis, retired. And he's concurring that the bad advisors probably came out of the political side of the NRA. Said, love the organization, but the political side has never been up to protecting 2A rights. Real Donald Trump needs to clean house and get better folks. And I have an alternative theory. I think that NRA has always been dependent on symbiosis with the deep state and the access that that implies. I think that it's mutual. You know, a politician gets an A rating and they get access to the politician. We saw the way that they backed Grover Norquist when his board candidacy was up for question. We see all these relationships that they develop. And I kind of question whether Fairfax's loyalty is to the swamp or to the hardcore membership. And I think that that is a legitimate question to ask, particularly since their absolute silence since this came out and the fact that they were the ones who initially gave the green light by saying that we don't want to see this legislated. We want to see this regulated. We think that bump stocks require the extra regulation to treat them like machine guns. And that was the green light. I mean, what is Donald Trump really supposed to think and do when he hears this coming out of NRA? He's thinking, these are the people that speak for the majority of gun owners. He's probably not deep enough into it to understand that there is a core of gun owners who want the NRA to get back to its purposes and objectives, which include defense of the Second Amendment, not just shooting and training and hunting and all the other things. And so I think that he is probably a bit surprised by all of this. And what we've come up with is we have come up with a very, very problematic rule that I think is absolutely subject to lawsuit and injunctions. I've got some ideas to involve myself legally in this. And there's one other real factor that no one else is really considering. Lawyer Stephen Stambolia, who has represented me in several Freedom of Information Act requests and lawsuits and things like that, and is also representing me and Kent Terry, the brother of slain Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, in an action. And Stephen says, wait a minute now, we've got this guy, Matthew Whitaker, who is the acting director of the Department of Justice.
Right.
But the problem is that these rules in the past have been signed by real directors, and to make it even more problematic, there are some Democrats that have a lawsuit that says that Whitaker is not qualified to be the acting attorney general, and they're trying to get a court to say, to agree with them and say that he is not the authorized acting attorney general. And if that happens, what happens to all of the different documents that he signs that we presume to be law? If I'm not authorized to sign something and I sign it, and it later comes out that, no, I wasn't, I didn't have the authority to do that, is that any longer legal?
Right. It's a huge question. I think you've unpacked a lot there. Let me start, of course, with the NRA thing. I was just talking about this before we brought you on the air. Look, I think that the rank and file in the trench NRA members in their local communities are doing God's work. But I am seriously and have been seriously concerned about the leadership at NRA for years. I mean, again, it goes back to the 1986 NFA or FOPA, where they were throwing gun owners who were in favor of Class 3 items under the bus by limiting the machine gun and creating the machine gun registry and limiting it. We could talk about the Lautenberg Amendment. We could talk about all these things that they have been complicit in some way or another by either giving the wink or the nod or actively supporting them. And yet purporting themselves to be the only gun rights organization out there that protects everyone. Well, it seems like they're protecting a certain slice of the gun community, but if it's not one that they identify with, like maybe people who like to use black rifles or shoot a lot of ammo downrange at a rapid pace, then they're not all about that. And I agree with you. I think that it has become more about the power base, maintaining the power, making sure that they're still coming to the right cocktail parties and everything else, and making the compromises that are affecting all of us, while these rank and file members are down them, they're killing themselves trying to make sure that the money's there, that the education's there, that the people in the communities are educated and trained and taken care of, and that the money's there. And yet the guys at the top just don't seem to care about all gun owners.
Yeah, and I think at this point it would be appropriate to clarify something, Michael, because I'm an NRA Life member, okay? I have been with the NRA since the early 90s, okay? I have done a lot for the NRA, particularly in the early days when I became almost evangelical, okay? Had the bumper stickers on the car. I was a member of the Members Council of Westside Los Angeles and rose up through that to the officer ranks, to where I was doing their newsletter out of my own pocket, okay? Getting this thing published, paying for it myself, making sure that the gun stores in the local area had a supply on their counters, and just doing a lot of volunteer work for the organization, showing up at events, representing them, getting insulted and slandered by people, almost getting arrested for daring to ask Sarah Brady a question at a public rally. And yet I come back with, when I criticize some of these management decisions, some of the quote-unquote loyalists accuse me of NRA bashing.
Right.
And it is not NRA bashing. It is calling the leadership to account for fidelity to the bylaws and objectives of the organization, the purposes and objectives written right in the bylaws that I think that they are falling short of.
Right.
And it is no more NRA bashing than it is being un-American or disloyal for criticizing political leaders who are abrogating the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And I think that we need to make sure that people understand that criticizing these management decisions and actions and poor grades for politicians and everything else that goes along with it, It is no more NRA bashing than criticizing Barack Obama is un-American.
Right. Well, and let's face it, you and I are not the only ones who are doing this now. There have been more and more people in the gun community. I mean, big names, you know, Rob Pincus and others who have come up and said, look, the leadership is falling short. The organization is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Again, the rank and file, and even some of the rank and file people have started to scratch their heads and go, what? I mean, when the ATF came out and or when the NRA came out and said, yes, ATF should reclassify anything that makes it shoot like a machine gun, and we welcome new regulations on that. That's a green light for anti-gunners. Why would you even pick at that scab? Why would you even do that?
And the other thing is it's insidious, Michael. I get sometimes furious with fellow gun owners when I see comments like, well, it's only about bump stocks. Who cares about those cheap pieces of plastic?
Right.
And wait a minute. If you think that this is about bump stocks, you are completely missing the point. You have not read the rule. You have not read what they say about takings. You have not read what they say about the Second Amendment. You have not read what they say about redefining not just machine guns, but by virtue of the fact that they've got step-by-step instructions for the only acceptable ways to cut these things up is their way or you're in violation. They basically redefine what the hell a firearm is through all this. And the real danger is if this can be done, not just legislatively, but through executive fiat, then what won't the next Democrat administration be able to do through these types of rules and orders? You've already established that this is a power that everybody goes along with. Do you think anybody's going to be able to challenge that once this is established that Donald Trump can do it? Okay, what do you think? What do you think? You know, Joe Biden or Beto O'Rourke can do.
Right, exactly. David Kodria is our guest. He is the author of the blog WarOnGuns.com. He also writes for Ammoland and for FirearmsNews.com, where they have a great selection. I want to talk a little bit about this when we come back. How Republicans have damaged the Second Amendment, 12 firearms news articles that you should read, featuring David Kodria pretty heavily in that. We'll talk with David about that here on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It is the Michael Duke Show, the final Firearms Friday of 2018. Wrapping things up here with one final segment coming up. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, back with more and David Kodria right after this on your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking gun radio.
Whoa, buddy, put that thing back in its holster. We haven't gone anywhere.
I don't understand.
Check out the MichaelDukesShow.com for information on how to get access to the podcast.
Okay, we are in the break right now. We got a few minutes here as we pay some bills. David Kodria continues with us right now as we go through. David, I got to say, I was pretty excited to, we're going to talk about this on the air here in just a minute, this firearms news editorial, though. First of all, what a tremendous number of fantastic quotes from founding fathers and others about the Second Amendment and the importance of it. I mean, there's a primer right there. Just on the history of the country and the Second Amendment, just in the two or three pages of quotes that are there.
Yeah, it really puts to the lie what the gun grabbers like to say, that Heller was somehow some kind of new decision that nobody had ever thought that the Second Amendment was an individual right until people started making noises about it in recent history. And they totally ignore absolutely what founding intent was all about. And you can see it not just in the quotes of the founders. You can see it in the Federalist Papers. You can see it, you know, just everywhere, that they did not come out of this war with Britain where, you know, the shots were fired when the king's army came to seize the powder and the armaments and ordered the rebels to disperse and disarm. And that was where they said no, and they became anti-government extremists. Okay.
Right.
And, You know, and I mean, it was the American Revolution was the fact that we don't need a king, that we can self-govern. That was the true revolutionary idea. People sometimes confuse the War of the Rebellion with the Revolution, and that wasn't really the Revolution. The Revolution was an ideological revolution. You know, you go back to Thomas Paine saying that the idea of an hereditary legislator is as absurd as an hereditary mathematician or an hereditary poet laureate. Okay,
right.
If you put it in that perspective, you know, you can see exactly what they were saying. The founders were absolutely so much more well-educated and well-rounded, particularly with the classics, than schools allow Americans to be today, because basically what we've talked about is we've got these indoctrination centers.
Okay? Right, right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. There is no accurate thought. There is no, where you get a chance to, you know, make the arguments. There's no teaching of the Socratic method. There's no logic, reason, and rhetoric. It's all, you know, it's all just rote and, hey, this is what we said. The government is the solution to almost all your problems. Please learn and conform. And if you don't, then we'll be asking you why. And of course, we're seeing that kind of played out, you know, writ large across the entire country right now. There was an article written in Bearing Arms, I think, was talking about this earlier, where they basically said, how many times do we have to compromise? You know, and it's always the left coming up saying, you're unreasonable if you don't give us this one point. Well, when was the last time you gave us any points? When was the last time you gave an inch on any of this? You want just one more thing, but there's always another with these folks.
And what quote unquote our side, you know, our gutless politicians that we elect, and then they turn around and they stab us in the back. You know, it's imagine you're surrounded by a pack of starving jackals that are circling in. Who thinks the best way to make them disperse is to throw them a scrap of meat?
Yeah,
that they'll be satisfied and they'll go away and they'll leave you alone. No, they want it all. They're intent on having it all. They'll take the scrap. But then they'll start circling in closer again, and they'll take your capitulation as a sign of cowardice.
And how many times have we seen this where we've had a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, a Republican administration, and yet we seem to be more fearful of gun regulations under these conditions than almost anything else? I mean, at least during the Obama administration and things like that, we were vigilant. Now it's like, oh, we let our guard down and don't worry, this guy, he's going to look out for us. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, did we just get screwed? I mean, is that what just happened? And it's like, yeah, it seems like it's always these folks that continue to stick it in and break it off on us. And, you know, we're the ones that are left holding the bag.
If you were on Sirius Radio, I could tell you what I think of Paul Ryan.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Or if we were around a campfire, we got to be around a campfire sometime, guy.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of 15-year-old scotch and a cigar, and we could have some campfire talks for sure.
Dave, I'm looking forward to both of those for Christmas, and I'm probably going to get socks and shirts, and you know, I'm supposed to smile and pretend I'm happy.
Yeah, no, wait. Where is my scotch and my cigars? Please, come on. I'm getting older. That's what I need. All right. David Kodria is our guest, author of The War on Guns blog. He also writes for Ammoland and FirearmsNews.com. I recommend you go out there and check out his stuff. I'm about to post a link in the chat room from FirearmsNews.com that's got his latest, a lot of his latest pieces in it. And basically, it is a primer on what is wrong right now with the Republican Party and Republican leadership and why we should be paying attention to it. I'm going to post that here in just a second. We are back now to the radio. Here we go. Welcome back. We're continuing now with David Kodria, who writes for thewaronguns.com. That's his blog, where it's kind of a clearinghouse for all news that's related to firearms and gun goodness. Also writes for Ammoland.com and for a news site called Firearms News, which I've been perusing. I'm really liking it. It's firearmsnews.com. And most recently, in fact, about, oh, I guess it was about 10 days ago, they put out an article called How Republicans Have Damaged the Second Amendment, 12 Firearms News Articles That You Should Read. And I know that this is going to rankle some of you out there. Some of you are going to be like, I'm a Republican. I've always been a Republican. The cognitive dissonance is going to be real when you hit up on this, because you're going to hit this. You're going to be like, well, wait a second. It's going to be real. And David is featured heavily in these 12 different articles that he covers here. David, let's talk a little bit about this editorial here.
Well, you know, again, we have to take the sidebar caveat that we did with NRA, because the immediate reaction is, well, yeah, would you rather have Hillary? No, of course we wouldn't rather have Hillary. What we would like to have is faithful, courageous Republicans of principle.
Right. I mean, why is this a zero-sum game?
To point out their failings and where they have, you're not going to get a course correction unless you can hold people accountable. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of come up with on betrayals is a politician will betray you, and then you'll turn around and you'll you know, turn him into power. You know, you'll give him power again. And there's a story from the late Lee Atwater of the Republican National Coalition, who reportedly said, who else are they going to vote for? And he was talking about gun owners, meaning we can basically feed them whatever we want to feed them, and they're going to be so desperate not to get a Democrat in there that we can basically get away with any betrayal that we want. And by allowing that to happen consistently over the years, we now find ourselves backed in a corner to where if you don't vote for a Donald Trump, you do get a Hillary Clinton and all of the Supreme Court nominations that go along with that. This is a trap that we're in. I don't pretend that I'm smart enough to understand how to extricate ourselves from the trap, but I can trace back how we walked into this trap, eyes wide open, through apathy, through allowing our legislators to betray us and rewarding betrayal with continued support. And I guess a question that I have to come back to, kind of an analogy, is if you're in a relationship and you find that your significant other has betrayed you, are you just going to take her back? Right. What if she betrays you again? Are you just going to take her back? At what point do you say, enough, out, I will deal with the consequences of being, I guess I'm kind of running out on this, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, because at some point you've got to say, look, at least if we ended up with, say, for example, a Democrat, we would know what we're getting. We're not being told one thing and then have the actions be something completely opposite of that. I mean, the title of one of your articles that's listed in this editorial just kind of sums it up nicely. With Republicans like these, who needs Democrats? I mean, really? If that's the case, yeah. aren't you guys supposed to be the ones that are defending us tooth and nail, hammer and tong? Aren't you supposed to be our shields against further erosion of our constitutional rights? I mean, what part, again, should David and I have to repeat this ad nauseum, what part of shall not be infringed do you even miss in this regard?
And again, who is more dangerous to you, the enemy outside the walls, who you know wants to destroy us, and you can take preparations to oppose and protect yourself again, or the enemy inside the gates who is going to stab you in the back? Who presents the greater danger to you? And I submit that it is the subversive inside. You know, I'm looking at a trend with some of these so-called Republicans that are now deciding that it's time to reveal themselves and switch parties and become Democrats.
Right.
Well, these people were never Republicans in the proper sense of the word anyway, if that's even a possibility. I just can't identify anymore. My principles won't allow me. What principles?
Wait.
I feel like I was a fraud.
Wait.
You are a fraud, buddy. Okay. You are a fraud. And as a matter of fact, I would think that everyone who voted on you, predicated on your representing yourself to be a Republican, ought to be able to sue you for fraud.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, because you're basically, nothing has changed. You're just now showing your actual true colors. What you've been doing is you were a fraud because you've been lying to us the whole time that you actually believed what we believed, and we were foolish enough to buy it. That's the worst part.
And particularly some of these characters that got A ratings from the NRA.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you see something like that, it's not unreasonable for the average gun owner to think, well, this is somebody that I ought to support. Because, I mean, face it, you and I eat, drink, and breathe this stuff, okay? But the average gun owner out there, you're going to have your own job. You're going to be doing your own thing. I understand what that's like, okay? I've got a LinkedIn thing. You can see all the different jobs I've had, you know, demanding jobs and raising a family. So who has time, really, to get into the weeds, but people who are in the weeds for a living? And so you see that this person has an A rating from NRA, and you might get the orange card that says he's a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, and you can't be blamed for thinking, well, this is the person that I ought to vote for.
Right.
But then when you find out that this person has stabbed you in the back and voted for prior restraints or voted for edicts that disarm people without due process and change their way and said now you have to be 21 to buy a rifle, or I'm going to vote for universal background checks, and that's another topic, you know, as the new Congress takes over. I would love to be able to discuss the universal background checks with you, and an easy way to prove that it's a fraud, that what they're really after is not background checks. What they're really after is knowing who has guns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that, and we all know, because we're all, you and I, and people like you and I who study this stuff exclusively, we all know that registration almost inevitably leads to confiscation. And a background check would be a de facto. The only way to be able to check it and keep track of it, of course, is with the registration. And we've already seen how well the ATF handles registrations and gun logs and things like that already with the NFA. This would be a disaster for gun owners, for freedom. And of course, it would eventually lead to, and that's one of the things that this actual article points out, the confiscation. And it actually lays out the different timelines of when confiscations have happened. Talks about the Armenian genocide, the Ukrainian Holodomor, the Jewish Holocaust, the Chinese political genocide, the Cambodian genocide, all of them coming back to, again, gun registration and confiscation.
Oh, it's happened in California, and it's happened in New York as well.
Right.
Mayor John Lindsay had a, I forget what his particular ban was about. It's been years. Michael, you know, if you take a look at my War on Guns blog, you'll see every year that there are just thousands and thousands of entries every year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Every day, you know, 20, 30 entries and things like that. So I've got all these things back in these little dusty file folders. And until I open up the drawer, I forget what I wrote about it.
Right.
But Lindsay had a law in New York where they went after for confiscation. Republican Attorney General, what was it, Dan Lundgren in California, confiscated an SKS Sporter that a guy had previously gotten a letter from him saying that it was legal.
Right.
And they've begun confiscations in California, and I forget the other state. Is it Washington State where they're doing confiscations?
I think Washington.
And again, the only way they know is because people who are law-abiding abide by the law.
Right.
You think that takes one gun away from the people that are causing the problems, the gangbangers and the turf, you know, warriors?
You know,
of course not.
Wait a second. Criminals, by the definition, break the law? David, say it ain't so. I mean, come on. They've got to abide by it just like everybody else, right?
Yeah, I just did a blog post on this guy who killed a woman who had a protective order against him with a gun.
Right.
Okay. That protective order was real protection, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, this is, we've been talking about this for years, but we're now seeing these things come to a head. And this, I think this bump stock ban is going to be a big deal. David, we're down to the last 90 seconds or so. Give us your thoughts on what you think is going to transpire. GOA just told us that they're going to drop this in the Sixth Circuit, which means it's going to be in your own backyard because they've got good, solid conservative judges there that have been very dubious of federal power on gun laws. What's your prediction right now on this?
I think that I hope, no crystal ball, that we're going to be successful in turning this back. I have my own lawsuit that I am working on with attorney Stephen Stambolia that is going to bring a unique aspect to this that I'm not going to talk about now. You'll have to wait and see what we talk about. But there's something unique about our argument and what we're going to do that none of the others have, and we're going to be seeking an injunction. So that's as far as I'm at liberty to go on that.
Well, hopefully after the first of the year, we can discuss it again, and you can let the cat out of the bag, and we can talk about it as well. David Kodria, waronguns.com is his blog. You can also find him over at ammoland.com and firearmsnews.com. David, Merry Christmas to you and your family, my friend. Thanks for keeping the fight up. We really appreciate you.
Merry Christmas, Michael, to you and yours and to all your listeners. And thanks again for having me on, and see you next year.
All right. Hold the line there for just 1 second. Folks, we'll be back with more on Monday, Christmas Eve Day edition. And then we're going on vacation for the rest of the year. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. The Michael Duke Show. You're home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Have a great weekend. All right, David, I just wanted to say, take a second before I let you go to just say thank you again and how much I appreciate all you do out there. I know it's not easy, but I think we're hopefully making a dent in this thing, and I'm going to be sharing this link to this editorial here all over the place. You really have shown in this, and I'm proud to know you, sir. This is some good stuff that you've been putting out there.
Well, back at you, Michael, and you know, yeah, it isn't easy, but I wouldn't be doing anything else, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
I'm always enthusiastic to get back into the fray. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we got to do it. We've got to fight for it. We've got to take the fight to them, because otherwise, we're just, you know, they're going to steamroll us. And this is the only thing we could do is stand up. You know, it's that I'm always reminded of that poster of the mouse with the eagle in the last great act of defiance of the mouse throwing both fingers in the air saying, come at me, bro. That's where we got to be. You know, that's how we got to roll today.
All right, Michael, listen, Merry Christmas, brother, and Happy New Year to you. And just go love your family. And I'll talk to you later.
You do too as well. I hope you get that scotch and cigars, and nobody remembers to bring you socks for the.
I'll get them all. Christmas Day, they know. Okay, they know if they want Dad to be generous, they better, you know.
That's
they
right.
Give me some rhythm here.
That's right. I better see some 15-year-old McClellan or something out there that's actually good stuff. So, all right,
exactly.
Merry Christmas,
okay,
my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, David Kodria, waronguns.com. So grateful for him as well. Yeah. Appreciate you guys coming in and joining us. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. We are going to head out here. I got some work to do this morning, and then I'm off to get the check done. Yeah. So excited about it. No, I'm not. I'm terrified. But, hey, it's okay. We're going to make it through. It's going to be fun. Appreciate you guys coming in and joining us and being part of the show today. Don't forget that if you share the show, you get a chance to win yourself a delicious bag of Beard Curler coffee, courtesy of our friends over there at Alaskan Artisan Coffee Roasters, where they roast it fresh with beautiful Alaskan mountain air. And, of course, all that Alaskan love. Beard Curler is a delicious blend, dark and bold with no acid. Very, very good stuff. It's my favorite blend because it's mine. That's what it's all about. So check it out. Alaskan Artisan Coffee, proud to do it. Share the show. Get a chance to win a delicious bag of coffee and more. Don't forget as well that you can also become part of the Common Sense Corps by going over to patreon.com/MichaelDukeShow, patreon.com/MichaelDukeShow, and to be part of the show in a whole different way. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all the folks out there, all the Common Sense Corps members who are part of it right now, helping to bring you this show and getting to be behind the scenes as well. All right, I think that does it. I hope you're having a good weekend. Make sure you get all your Christmas shopping done early. Go ahead and spend Christmas Eve day with your friends. I know a lot of people just take the day off. I know I will be taking the rest of the day off after the show on Monday morning, but make sure you join us because I want to talk about your Christmas traditions. I want to talk about all the fun things that you do and the foods and everything else. I just want to have a good time together. So let's talk about it on Monday, shall we? All right, it's a great day, and I hope you have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday, folks. Thanks for coming in. The Michael Duke Show, Common Sense, Liberty-based, free-thinking radio, heard around the world at MichaelDukeShow.com. Mash that share button. We will see you on Monday.
We've shed our terrestrial radio skin, and now we are slimy lizard internet people. It's the Michael Duke Show.